Welcome to the Life Forces podcast. I'm your host, Bianca Giuglioni. This podcast is here to help you explore different life forces for your own growth and transformation, because self-knowledge breeds self-empowerment, which creates lasting change. I'm here to help you navigate life in your own unique way for more clarity, joy, and abundance on your path ahead. You're in the right place if you're a creative, entrepreneur, or simply a spiritually curious human being. On the Life Forces podcast, we get into astrology, human design, personal growth, holistic health, spirituality, authenticity, and so much more. You'll expand your understanding of different modalities and perspectives to move in the direction of your desires. In addition to the spiritual and the numinous, you'll get practical tips on how to make tangible life changes from me and all of the fascinating experts I speak to. Thank you so much for being here with me. Let's dive right in. Hello, hello. I'm back. We're back. This is the Life Forces podcast. This is your host, Bianca Giuglioni. So some of you may have noticed that the podcast has been on a little bit of a hiatus, and some of that was planned and some of it wasn't. I wasn't expecting the hiatus to be this long, let's say. I kind of got cut short, let's say. But the last episode I recorded was in early July, and the final episode that came out of season one was episode 5 about the astrology and human design of Lana Del Rey. I love that one because I love her and I love analyzing the charts of people that I'm fascinated by. And so since I recorded that episode, a lot of stuff has gone down. Around my birthday, which is July 14th, I was dealing with a lot of stuff, physical, mental, spiritual. It was honestly quite a roller coaster. And I won't get into the details about like what specifically happened, but just to reassure everyone that I'm okay now. I've pulled through to the other side for the better, really. And, you know, when I was going through everything, I did have support in my community here from afar, from my partner, from doctors and different practitioners and stuff. So yeah, I'll just say that for now. That's what I'm comfortable sharing. And, you know, this situation, this life event really put a lot of things into perspective for me. Unfortunately, sometimes it takes things that are so out of the ordinary, serious, etc., that really cause you to reflect on life and really zoom out on things. Yeah, so it really reignited something in me. And I think part of it is I had this experience, which I would say like, yeah, affected me for like the better half or more of July. And instead of, I had planned to go on a trip, a family trip to Italy with my mom, my sisters, other members of the family, etc. And in some ways, logically, I maybe, quote unquote, shouldn't have gone, but I knew that I had to go. And I'm so glad that I did. And I'm really glad that I trusted myself. And I'd say in general, through what I went through, I'm really, really proud of myself for trusting myself and advocating for myself. Because I think when we're dealing with something a bit scary health-wise, I mean, just straight up, it's scary, right? Like that brings up so many fears, so many deep-seated things, maybe traumas from earlier in life. Who knows, right? It's, you never know, right? I think these times that are really difficult and jarring are kind of a test almost for where we're at. Not to say that like, ooh, it's so fun, or like, ooh, we deserve it or we don't deserve it. Nothing like that, but just it really shows you where you're at as a human being, like where your consciousness is at, you know, how far you've come, what you've healed within yourself. And I could see that there were some things I hadn't healed, which I mean is normal. We're all working on stuff and that's totally fine. But at the same time, I could see there was a lot that I had overcome within myself. And just the way that I was able to stand up for myself in certain situations, like that sounds really dramatic, but you know, but I did, I stood up for myself and I knew, you know, this is how I want to handle the situation. And for the most part, I handled it in a way that I'm very proud of. I moved through it with as much grace as I could, considering what I was going through. Because of all that, and then having this 3-week vacation, which was planned before, and really letting myself have a vacation, now I feel that I can be so all in to everything. I'm not shaming myself or blaming myself for things as much. I'm like, okay, that might be the past story, or I might have done that 2 months ago, but I have the power to choose something different. Because we all do, right? Life will throw us the craziest things that you never really thought would happen. You know, like that is partially how I would describe my experience in July. But we always have the choice as to how we're going to respond to it, even if it's uncomfortable, right? Because it's so easy for us to kind of go back into past patterns of like, the only way I know how to react to this is with anger or with sadness or with excitement or whatever. And maybe you now and your soul now requires a different response. And it's about, are you courageous enough to try that, right? To try having a different response to your current circumstances. And that's something that I've been thinking about a lot, right? Because we can look at the facts of our current circumstances of our life, and we can make all these excuses as to why we are where we are. And that's not to say like I want to focus on the negative things, but for a lot of us who maybe have kind of higher standards for ourselves or our life, or we have greater ambitions, which is also something I've been thinking about a lot, it's very easy to see the things that aren't going well. And I think I'm already always pretty perceptive of the things that aren't going well in my life, for better or for worse. But it's also, we have to remember to notice the things that are going right, even if they're really simple. And I think this is, can be related to gratitude, which I think, like, you know, gratitude practices, gratitude as a concept, et cetera, can seem a little like, I don't know, fake positive, bypassing things and just, you know, like, oh, just focus on the positive. Yeah, some of that stuff can sound really icky when we hear it, right? Especially when certain things aren't going well, when we experience huge life events, traumatic things, etc. Like, it doesn't feel good to hear, like, just focus on the positive. But what I mean is, even if you're going, even if you feel like you're in a ditch right now, what aspects of your life are going right, even if they're really simple? Like, I have food in the fridge. I can go for a walk outside. I have a phone that I can distract myself on, whatever it is, like whatever small things. Another thing I like to do is compare myself now with where I was maybe last year or a few years before. And I really think, you know, you might have to look hard in some circumstances, especially if you're hard on yourself. I really think that we all do grow and change in beautiful ways, even if it isn't always tangible in the real world. So even if it's like, for example, oh, I happen to be making less money now than I did a few years ago, or a few years ago I had a partner and now I'm single, right? There are still things that we know deep down that we can be really proud of, right? And so that's something I'm trying to really lean into, is being proud of myself, keeping promises to myself, right? Because I think that's part of being proud of myself. It's like, okay, cool. You woke up at 7:30. You didn't get too distracted by your phone. You made yourself a good breakfast. You did the things. Proud of you. Not just like, oh my God, I made all this money, or oh my God, I have the perfect this or the perfect that, right? I hope you enjoyed that little spiel tangent. Going back to the Italy trip that I went on with my family, that in some ways maybe I shouldn't have gone on, quote unquote, I sometimes get anxious even before really exciting life things, which I'm sure some of you can relate to. And for me, because I'm like a freak about certain food and movement stuff, I was really worried about just what I would be able to eat in Italy because I'm sometimes sensitive to dairy. And I was really concerned about like not eating enough fruits and vegetables, you know, because especially in the summer, I like to have fruit in the morning, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I just kept reassuring myself, it's going to be okay. You need this. You got this. It'll be fine. And I'm really happy that I was able to let go of the stuff that I was clinging so tightly to. It's funny, like we sometimes have these idiosyncrasies within ourselves of like, this thing has to be this way or it's not going to work. And so, yeah, letting go of some of that. I want to bring up this amazing Ram Dass quote. If you're not familiar with Ram Dass, he was an amazing spiritual teacher who had a background in academia, actually. He used to teach at Harvard, blah, blah, blah. He passed away, I think, a few years ago now, but amazing. I really like his book, Be Here Now. You might have seen it. It has this like dark blue cover with this like chair in the middle and this like trippy pattern. Anyway, it's an amazing book. But he has this one quote that I always, always, always come back to, especially when it comes to family dynamics and all that. And he said, if you think you're enlightened, go and spend a week with your family. I mean, that's a mic drop quote right there, in my humble opinion, because it's so true. You know, we can feel like we have our shit together. We can feel like, you know, we're at peace and we have our nice routines, or, you know, we're in the flow of things. We're doing our own thing. It's all good. But then, you know, especially as adults, when we go back to our family, boy, do wounds get brought the heck up, don't they? And yeah, that was certainly my experience even now in 2023 as a 32-year-old. And it is what it is. To me, it's just an opportunity to continue to further understand myself, further understand and empathize with other people. And yeah, just grow as a person, right? When we don't face any friction in life, it's really hard to grow. When things stay the same, or when we try our hardest to keep things the same, I believe it's a lot harder to grow as a person. So as much as it sucks to get in the middle of like weird family dynamics or for something really devastating to happen to you, these things happen to everyone. It just is what it is. And they're always here to help us grow. So talking a little more specifically about the vacation, I first went to Pisa to meet my mom and my aunt. And luckily, I had a night to myself because of the way the flights were. And I love spending time alone when traveling. I'm someone that really needs my alone time. Don't know about y'all. But, you know, I have a 2 in my profile in human design. And the 2 is the hermit. And, you know, hermit needs their alone time, right? Like hermit, you know, I think of hermit as someone who's living alone in the woods, just doing their thing. Don't bother me. So I need that once in a while, right? Because here where I live with my partner. I love it. It's great. But sometimes I'm just like, I want to go somewhere where literally no one knows who I am. I'm alone. It's chill, you know? So I had one night of that, which was really cool. Then the next day, my mom and aunt arrived. And I think it was either that day or I think it was that day that we went to the Andrea Bocelli concert in his hometown in Tuscany. And it was a really beautiful experience. It was a beautiful summer day and night. And the sunset happened and the concert started. It was really, really amazing. Yeah, it was really cool. For the rest of the trip, we spent a lot of it kind of on the east coast of Italy, on the Adriatic Sea side in Abruzzo, a region called Abruzzo. And we spent a lot of time at the beach there, which was amazing. My mom had rented an apartment right near the beach, which was amazing in some ways. not so amazing because it was August holidays by the time we got there in August. And I can be very picky about my quiet time, especially about night. Like, honestly, I'm saying all this and I sound like a grandma. And you know what? I fully own it. Like, in a lot of ways, I'm an old person. But you know what? I've had plenty of years staying up late, partying, crazy stuff, whatever. And, you know, if it's 10, 11 o'clock and I want to go to sleep, I want to be able to have some quiet with my earplugs in. Anyway. I sound like such a curmudgeonly woman, but anyway, that's the truth, okay? That's the truth. But what was actually really amazing about this week that we spent there is there was no Wi-Fi at the internet. I did have data on my phone, but, you know, if there's no Wi-Fi, at least me personally, I'm not going to, like, watch things on my computer and get lost in the sauce like that. So it was really nice. I, like, listened to audiobooks. I read books. It was great. It was fab. It was awesome. And during that time, I listened to the audiobook of Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker, which was great. I loved it. And, you know, one thing I've realized about myself and I'm, like, more and more comfortable sharing is this might be controversial, but I want to have a lot of abundance in my life. I want to have a lot of financial abundance in my life. And to be honest, for a really long time, I had a really strange relationship with money, and I kind of still do. But in that, there's a big part of me that thought it was bad to have a lot of money or not cool or just a plethora of very silly reasons why money is kind of bad or something. And my perspective on that has completely changed. And I don't want to sound like a very, you know, intense, like, capitalist or greedy person that all they care about is money, because that's really not me. But, you know, when I got honest with myself and the kind of life that I want to have and the kind of life that I want to, you know, share with people in my life and beyond, it requires a lot more financial stability and abundance than I have now. So I've been honest with myself about that. And it's something that I'm working on basically every day. I love learning about money. I love learning about how to use my money smartly, how to make more in a way that feels good to me. Because, you know, it's obviously not everything. Like, money isn't everything in this life. But the way that the world is presently is that you need it to live in a lot of ways, right? So I enjoyed that one. It was, like, relatively short and snappy, and he's just, like, really to the point about things. And I remember one part of the book, he talks about not complaining and how important that is. And I think he proposed, like, a week challenge to not complain. And I believe I did it while I was on vacation. And honestly, it's really hard because sometimes socially we're so used to complaining to one another as, like, a way of bonding. And, you know, while that's fine and to each their own, I was like, maybe if we see it as more normal to share, you know, what's going well in our life, or, you know, talk about challenges in a way that's not complaining, how would that change things in our, you know, relationship to self, in our relationship with other people, in our relationship with society on a whole, and etc. Very, very interesting kind of thought experiment. So if you feel called, try not complaining for an entire week, 7 days, and see how it goes for you. Another book that I got through, unfortunately, I didn't get through this one all the way because it was a library rental thing, but using, like, an e-reader app. Anyway, I got about a third of the way through it, and I can't wait to finish it once I get my loan again. But this book was called The Perfectionist Guide to Losing Control by Katherine Morgan Schaffler. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. I hope I can get this amazing, talented woman on this podcast someday because, oh my gosh, the way that it felt like she was speaking to me directly about just psychology, human behavior, et cetera, like, especially as it pertains to what we call perfectionism, my mind was honestly blown. And some of it was things I was kind of thinking of pondering before, but just the way she was able to articulate it and explain it was really, really incredible. And, you know, she has many years experience of clinical psychological practice. And the way she brought up anecdotes about patients was really, really interesting. You know, she said she melded different stories and identities into one, you know, to respect the privacy of her patients. But anyway, oh my gosh, it was amazing. I absolutely love her perspective on perfectionism. And for those of you who are like, oh, I'm not a perfectionist, I'm da da da, trust me, you might be, especially if you are a woman. Okay. Just throwing that out there. I mean, the whole book, and I only got a third of the way through, so imagine, like, the whole book so far was just blowing my mind page by page. And I love that she said, with perfectionism, it's not something to get rid of, but rather examine with ourselves and society and maybe even embrace. It was, like, incredible. And one thing she pointed out that I found was really interesting is that male perfectionists, or kind of the archetypal male perfectionist, is celebrated, right? You think of the, I don't know, of the head doctor at a hospital who's like wants everything to be a certain way, or a CEO who runs the company and demands absolute excellence of his employees. No one says, you know what, dude, I think you're being a little bit of a perfectionist. Maybe you need to like go to a therapist and like talk about it. No one ever says that to men, right? At least like I've never witnessed that or heard that. You guys can tell me if you have, okay? And then when it comes to female perfectionists, it's like, ooh, yeah, I'm a woman. I'm such a perfectionist about stuff. It's something I really need to address. You know, I really need to just like manage it. I need to fix it. It's like not good, right? It's so incredibly unfair because I don't think it's a bad thing to have high standards for yourself. What's not good, and what the author Schaeffler speaks of, is punishing ourselves for not being quote unquote good enough or perfect enough. And one thing, one quote, just a quick one that she wrote in the book is, it's not that you approach your life with perfectionism, it's that you respond to missteps with self-punishment. And that alone, wow. Let me say that again. So it's not that you approach your life with perfectionism, it's that you respond to missteps with self-punishment. I mean, how amazing is that, the way she put that into perspective? At least this is really speaking to me, and I hope it's speaking to some of you, right? There's nothing wrong with wanting a lot out of life, right? And I think especially women, I don't know, there's been this weird trajectory of like, you know, feminism, you can do anything, girl boss stuff, and then like somewhat of a rejection of girl boss stuff because it's quote unquote problematic. Okay, whatever. We're all messy humans. But I think there's nothing wrong with, as a woman, wanting a great life for yourself and, you know, being ambitious, God forbid, right? You know, she talks about self-punishment and how a lot of people, especially those of us who identify as female, just punish ourselves, right? We're hurting ourselves to quote unquote teach ourselves a lesson. But that's not nice, right? That's not nice to ourselves at all. I can relate to this a lot. Like, I've always been really hard on myself, which is very strange because my parents were never really hard on me. Like, they really supported me, whatever. I don't know what it is. I could blame parts of my astrology. It doesn't matter. But I totally understand this concept of like hurting yourself to teach yourself a lesson. But it doesn't work. And then I really liked what she said about this, continuing with the self-punishment stuff. If you are the source of your own punishment, then you learn to avoid yourself by numbing out. Numbing out looks like overeating, overspending, overworking, getting caught up in drama, substance misuse, mindlessly watching TV or scrolling social media, and so forth. I mean, wow, because I think if we're engaging in numbing behaviors, such as what she explained here, right? Like when we're really like checked out of life in a way that's not healthy. I'm not talking about like checking your Instagram, checking your email, engaging with people for a reasonable amount of time. I'm talking like completely checking out, right? We think that someone that's a perfectionist wouldn't do that, right? We just think like, no, how dare I do something like that? At least that's how I perceive it. If I'm my own inner disciplinarian and I've had enough of that, then obviously I'm going to do something totally outside the lines, right? I want to avoid that inner disciplinarian by just doing something completely different, right? She says also, you don't heal yourself by hurting yourself. And I mean, yeah, because the definition of healing is, right, repairing yourself, strengthening yourself, taking the time you need. Hurting yourself is totally interrupting any sort of healing process, obviously, right? Even if we're thinking of physical wounds. And she also talks about punishments creating more problems, which I mean, yeah, because if you're engaging in these numbing behaviors, if you're being really hard on yourself, then it's so easy to just create more and more problems for yourself, to kind of get in this loop of like, I'm not good enough, therefore I have to avoid myself, therefore I'm really not good enough, right? And it's just this vicious, vicious cycle. I think these are my own notes, but something I've been thinking about a lot for myself personally is having a healthy relationship with discipline, which I think can sometimes be a little bit of a dirty word, especially in the more spiritual world, or if you're more of a creative person in some ways, you know, because we always, often we like to talk about flow, and flow is beautiful. When we're in flow, we create magic, right? It feels really good. It feels like it's coming from not even us, like something else is helping us along with whatever it is. But when we only have flow, first of all, it's probably not always flow. It's sometimes a little bit of, I don't know, like dilly-dallying. But with discipline, we allow ourselves to create containers for that flow. And it's something that I've realized that I need more of. And it's something that I know I rejected because when I was very, very young, like I'm talking literally 5-6 years old, I was so disciplined with myself for, again, like no external circumstances or people telling me to do that. But I was so disciplined that in some ways I realized I was hardly a kid because I was just so serious, right? So then I rebelled from that maybe in my teenage years and kind of onward. But now I'm at a point where like, okay, I do need to take responsibility for myself, for my schedule, for my boundaries between different parts of life. And, you know, it's about increasing a bit of the structure in your life. It's being more proactive about things. And it's something that really, you know, promotes positive behavior and discourages negative ones, right? And more of a positive approach to change as a whole, right? If I'm disciplined about whatever it is, working out every day or working out 3 days a week, that's going to help me feel more positive about change. And that's going to empower me through that structure, right? Sometimes structure feels oppressive and we don't want that. But can we find like a happy medium between structure and flow? That's my spiel about that. I feel like I've been really jumping around here. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I really wanted to speak to. I guess I'll talk a little bit more about the trip. I'll go back to that. But I wanted to share that stuff about perfectionism because it really blew my mind and gave me a really good framework to like look at myself and what I'm doing and hopefully help clients with this too in one way or another. Before I jump back to the trip stuff, so in this book, The Perfectionist Guide to Losing Control, she talks about 5 different types of perfectionists, and you can do a little quiz. I'll actually link the quiz in the show notes so you can like take a look and share what you got with me if you're interested. But the perfectionist type I got was messy perfectionist. And messy perfectionists are just, I'm going to break them down really simply, quick to start and slow to finish, like have all these ideas and then sometimes don't always execute them. The other four are intense perfectionists, which are those people who strive for success at all costs. A classic perfectionist is someone who is highly organized and more buttoned up or uptight, let's say. Parisian perfectionists are those who are very much people pleasers, and their perfectionism shows up in their relationships with other people, wanting them to be perfect, those relationships. And then finally, we have the procrastinator perfectionist, who is always waiting for the right time to do things. I thought this approach and the way she broke it down was super, super interesting. And I really identified with the messy perfectionist archetype. And I'll go into it a little more. So she says that they effortlessly push through the anxiety of new beginnings, are superstar idea generators, adapt to spontaneity well, and are naturally enthusiastic. But left unchecked, they struggle to stay focused on their goals, ultimately spreading their energy too thin to follow through on their commitments. Oh my goodness, when I read that last sentence about ultimately spreading their energy too thin to follow through on their commitments, oh my gosh, I completely resonated with that. Especially when it comes to my business, I have so many ideas and I don't always follow through on them. And it really gets to me. And that's something that I really want to work on the rest of this year and beyond. And I'm thinking about how I can do that on my own, because sometimes it seems like I have so many ideas, I need more people to help me with them. And then I realize, okay, where can I have more discipline and structure with myself? Where can I, you know, just focus on one thing, whether that's for a week or a day or an afternoon, to really hone in on that kind of stuff? It really put things into perspective. In terms of the perfectionism stuff, let me know if this is resonating with you. I really want to have the author of this book on the podcast, but I also want to create, and this is something I thought about while I was on vacation in Italy, I want to create some type of program, like group program, where we would discuss this stuff, talk about different strategies, and just find ways to accept and love ourselves more, right? So we don't dislike ourselves for having high standards and wanting to achieve, but we find ways to dance with it and to flow with life and to love that part of ourselves in a way that makes things easier for us, and in a way that we're on our own side, we're on our own team, we're not self-punishing and working against ourselves. Okay, so now I think I'm finally going back to talking about the vacation a little bit. My cousin also got married, which is amazing. And she's also expecting a baby in a few months, which is so exciting. Shout out, Karina. I hope it's okay that I say your name. I love ya. It was really cool to be there for her, especially because most of our family lives in Canada. So it was only like a few of us that went. My mom's her godmother and aunt, part of the reason why we went. And I'm glad that we could be there to support. I think it's really amazing to be able to be there for these life milestones. It's something that I've realized is really important to me, more so in the last few years. Like, it's not, I wasn't always like a family person, but as I don't know, get older and things change for me and want a family of my own, I realize how important it is. And you never know how much time you have with someone. For those of you who don't know, my father passed away really suddenly 2 years ago. So I really don't take these little events, or, you know, these little or big events lightly. I do want to be there for people when I can and just be amongst people I've known for my whole life. And it was a really beautiful trip, especially because my mom and my two sisters, we were really able to come together, the four of us, in a way that we haven't been able to in the past couple of years, or honestly, maybe ever. And it was really, really beautiful to see, you know, the three of us kids, we're kind of more grown up now, and in some ways we're more mature, right? And we were able to have conversations which were at a level that we weren't able to before. Maybe it's because people were sensitive or whatever it was, you know, I include myself in that. I'm not, whatever, it's all good. It was really, really cool. And we had a great time together. in Abruzzo, going around. You know, we were joined by like some other family members, by friends of the family. You know, it was really cool to just like come together. And also for me personally to take some extra time to myself when I needed it, I was really aware of that. Okay, this is a bit too much people time. Instead of going out with everyone today, I'm just going to stay at the hotel and then join for dinner or something like that. So that was really good to learn that about myself and to integrate it and to practice it and to be like, wow, my energy is actually good because I'm not overexerting it for social things or whatever else it might be. And since on this trip, it was an interesting combination of healing from what I went through, reconnecting with family, seeing new places, getting into new environments, etc. There was a point closer to the end of the trip where I felt more comfortable getting back into movement, which is usually like yoga and Pilates for me. And there were a few really amazing mornings that I spent getting up early before everyone else, exercising outside on the grass by the pool. It was so amazing. There would not be a soul there. The grass would still be kind of wet from it being watered. And I'd find a little shady spot and I'd just have my phone with a downloaded workout there and do my thing without a soul. It was so awesome. And it made me remember how much I love getting up early and how much I love doing my stuff, doing my things, doing my meditation, doing my exercise, eating something good, going for a walk for 10 minutes in the sun. It is Virgo season after all, you know, I got to remind you of some good habits or good rituals to, you know, keep your mind and body in check. This is something that I've reintegrated into my daily life back here on the island where I live. And another audiobook actually I got through recently was The 5 a.m. Club by Robin Sharma. And at first I was like, I don't know about this. Like, is this book just going to tell me like how amazing it is to wake up at 5 a.m. and I'm like, I can't do it. But I really liked the way he made it into a story. He really kind of like narrativized it, let's say, instead of just being like chapter one, set your alarm clock and da da da. It was a whole story with different characters and then weaving in, you know, his desires for you as the author. And it was a really inspiring book. And while I don't know if I'm going to make it to a 5 a.m. wake up, my goal is to get to more like a 6 a.m. wake up, especially in the winter when I'll go to bed earlier. Not to say that this is the only way to like be productive and successful and happy and whatever, but I know for me, I have always been quite a morning person. I love the quiet of the morning. I love the sunrise, walking outside and no one else is there. I'm just truly not a night owl, at least like not in a sustainable way. So that's what's right for me. You got to see what's right for you, you know, and we can see some of that in your human design, maybe depending on things in your chart. But anyway, I think I want to wrap up now. And first of all, say thank you for listening. Thank you for being back here. It always helps when you share the podcast with anyone you know. I have so much planned for this season two. You should expect weekly episodes for the next little while after this, which is cool. I'm going to have guests on this season, which I'm super stoked about. We're going to have video podcasts, maybe for solo episodes, but definitely for guest episodes. And I just wanted to tell you about one thing for sure that's happening in the Life Forces world, which is that I have, by the time you listen to this, let's see, but right now I have 3 spots left for one-on-one Cosmic Clarity coaching. And this is a 6-week transformational experience with me. You have one-on-one access to me. This is the only way right now to work with me one-on-one. And by the end of it, you will feel like a different person. You'll be able to integrate your astrology and human design in ways that are actually practical and actually really move the needle for you, because it's nice to know that you're a Taurus sun or whatever, but what do you do with that? And what do you do, especially with the really in-depth, unique to you information that I'm going to give you. I really recommend this for anyone who feels stuck, for anyone who feels like strategies they might have had before are no longer working for them. If you're thinking about switching careers, this is great because I always go through life purpose and how it relates to who you are and what your soul wants in this lifetime. It kind of often comes back to that. So if any of that interests you, you can go to the link in the show notes, which will lead you to my website. And from there, you can book a free 30-minute call with me to discuss what hopes and dreams you have and what's keeping you from achieving them, and then how I can help you and how Cosmic Clarity can help you. So that's all I've got for now. I'm sure I'm going to share more later because as a messy perfectionist, I've got lots of different ideas, but now my intention is to get better at executing them regularly. I want to have a suite of different offers for you guys. I want new things popping up that you're excited about. So that's what I want to share right now. And I'll just say, I really, really appreciate your feedback on the podcast, whether that's giving me a rating on whatever platform you're listening on, or if something inspired you in the episode, maybe share it on your Instagram stories, for example, or feel free to DM me at Life Forces Inc. on Instagram, especially if there's something that you want to know more about, because I want to get feedback from you on what you're interested in hearing about on this podcast, even if you have guest ideas, people that you would love to know more about. That's all for me for now. We're going to be back next week with an amazing interview with Flavia Deutschler, who's the founder of Aura Collective and also an amazing health coach and functional medicine practitioner. It's going to be awesome. I feel ignited. I feel alive. I'm really excited to share the rest of this season with you, the rest of season two of the podcast, and all of the amazing offers that will be coming out. So stay tuned. Love you guys. Have a great week. Talk soon. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of the Life Forces podcast. If you loved what was shared, got inspired, or took something valuable from it, I would love if you could give me a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or even share this episode with a friend. I deeply appreciate it, and it really helps the podcast grow. Also, don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss a thing. To stay connected, you can follow me on TikTok and Instagram at Life Forces Inc. and visit lifeforcesinc.com for more information about how to work with me. Until next time, stay you.